Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha, umi moladetecha, umi beit avicha, el ha'aretz asher areka. OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Lech Lecha. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, Vav Mar Cheshvan, the sixth day of the month of Mar Cheshvan, 5771, in the general calendar, October 14th. And in Israel, tonight, the eve of the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, we begin asking God for rainfall, beneficial, blessed rainfall, in our daily Amidah, weekdays that is, by adding the words to Borech Aleinu Bracha V'tein Tal Umatar Livracha. In Chutz La'aretz, the practice is not to begin asking Tal Umatar until December 4th or 5th. Several questions come to mind, maybe not several, but at least two. Number one, how come our date in Israel for beginning Tal Umatar is based on the Jewish calendar, and how come outside of Israel it's based on the secular calendar, which it is? And a second question, or maybe the first question, is how come there's a difference between when we in Israel begin to ask for rain and the way it's done in Chutz La'aretz. I will explain some of that shortly, and then I want you to listen to a mini shiur I gave the dedicated Torah Tidbits folders a very short while ago, like half an hour ago, and that will take us well into the timing of the show and into a topic of interest for Parshat Lech Lecha. There's much more to talk about, and hopefully we'll get to some of that as well. But first, Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Karaticha Adonai. Adonai Shima V'Koli Tehiena Oznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai. Im Avonot Tishmorya Adonai Mia Amod, Ki Imacha Hasalicha Lama'an Tivare, Ki Viti Adonai Kivata Nafshi, Velidvaro Hocholti, Nafshi Ladonai, Mi Shomerim Laboker, Shomerim Laboker, Yachel Yisrael El Adonai, Ki Im Adonai Hachesed Vaharbeimo Fedut, Vehu Yifde et Yisrael, Mikol Avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem viyotziyem mitzara lirvacha umeafela laora umishibud lgeula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv vinomar amen. Let me begin with a song, and let me introduce the song with a comment. The song is from Parshat, the words are from Parshat Lech Lecha, They concern God's promise to Avraham Avinu, our father Abraham, of the gift of the land of Israel to him and his descendants forever. We'll go over the exact words in a moment. But maybe as a little background here, there are times that I have written on this topic of the Jewish claim to the land of Israel that people have criticized me for rendering political opinions in the Torah context of Torah Tidbits. And my answer is unashamedly, you can't even make that suggestion, because the comment is not political, it is Torah. Maybe I'm being a little oblique, but let's see what I'm talking about. If we believe with all our heart that God created this world, and in the Torah testifies himself, capital H, to that fact, when we read at the very beginning, Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If we believe, which we do, that God took the people of Israel out of Egypt, and as a testimony to that, God at Revelation at Sinai said to a multitude of 2 to 3 million people, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beit avadim, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, then we, at least, should have no room for doubt. When God says to Avraham Avinu, the Torah says, in Parshat Lech Lecha, Vayera Hashem el Avram, God appeared to Avraham, Vayomer, and he said, Lizaracha etein et haaretz hazot, I will give this land to your offspring. This promise is reiterated through Yitzchak, lest anyone think that Yishmael was also a son of Avraham and therefore has an equal claim to this land. The Torah testifies that the promise of the land to Avraham's descent is through Yitzchak and from Yitzchak through Yaakov, not through Yishmael and not through Esav. This is no less a part of the Torah, no less a testimony by God that this land, and the boundaries are spelled out there, which are quite broader than the boundaries of the current Israel. Boundaries are spelled out. It is crystal clear that anyone who believes in God and that the Bible is his testimony and words, that this land belongs to the Jewish people. There is no valid counterclaim that is possible, and this is not a political statement, there is no valid counterclaim to the fact that this is the biblical Eretz Yisrael that God promised would go to Avraham through Yitzchak, through Yaakov, to the Jewish people in perpetuity. It does not matter that we were exiled from this land and only returned many years later. It does not matter that there were periods where certain parts of the land of Israel were free of Jewish people because of the Christians who liberated the Holy Land or the Muslims who defeated the Christians. It doesn't matter. The claim is legitimate, bona fide, historical, biblical, God-given, in perpetuity. the fact that they were Arabs, non-Jewish, who were living and still live in parts of Eretz Yisrael, means that they are among the inhabitants of this land. It does not mean that it's theirs. And they should be welcomed in Israel, provided they do not harbor and certainly do not manifest animosity towards the Jewish people. It's not an equal kind of thing here. I believe that Muslims should be allowed to live in the borders of the state of Israel if they are loyal to the state, if they are respectful of the Jewishness of the state, and the fact that this is the homeland of the Jewish people. This is not the homeland of Muslims. It is not the homeland of Christians. Yes, there are not a nice word to use. There are Christian holy sites here. There are Muslim holy sites. This is not their land. This is not a political statement. This is, from the Jewish perspective, a statement of truth and a fact. The song puts it to a melody. The Torah gives it its validity. Any person in the world who venerates the Bible and accepts the Bible as the true word of God can't but admit to what I'm saying is truth. This does not solve the political tensions that occur here. That has to be worked on. But a Christian in good faith should not even suggest any kind of equation between these clashing claims to this land. You want to say that the reality of the situation and the pursuit of peace and the end to the enmity that exists towards the people in Israel would be helped by some kind of entity in government or whatever, statehood. I don't agree with that. But if you want to say that, it has to be by first saying the only real claim to this land is the Jewish claim. But I think we should be nice and do this and that and the other thing for our own self-interest as well as the interest of other people. But to say that there is a legitimacy to the claims of others besides the Jewish people to this land is falsehood. I hope this comes across the way I mean it to come across. We'll leave my words at this. And here is Avraham Fried with the words out of this week's Torah reading and a few other parshiot in the book of Bereshit. We will leave my words at this and listen to the song, the words of which come from Parshat Lech Lecha and a few other places in the book of Bereshit, from an album called Eretz HaTzvi, Songs of Artzenu HaKadosha, of our Holy Land. Listen, enjoy, most importantly, believe it, because it is the truth of the Torah.
Lecha eten et ha'aretz hazot, et ha'aretz hazot, umbarech kol minei tuata letova, veten bracha arnei ha'adama. Lecha, lecha,
Okay, let's have a listen to the mini shear for the Torah Tibbetz folders that I would like to share with you as well about a totally different aspect related to Parshat Lech Lecha and to brachot, the making of blessings in general. Okay, I want to revisit a topic that I've discussed in the past. It fits very well in one aspect of Lech Lecha this week. And in general, it's an interesting observation. Different ways to begin, but let's start this way. When we perform a mitzvah that has a bracha, the bracha comes in two flavors. There is the al flavor, al achilat matzah, al mikra megillah, al sfirat haomer. On the reading of the Megillah, on the counting of the Omer, on the eating of Matzah. And then there is the lehadlik ner, shol Shabbat, shol Chanukah, shol Yom Tov, whatever. Likboa mezuzah, to affix a mezuzah on the doorpost. Not on the affixing of a mezuzah, but to affix it. Leshev basukah, that's a form of le, not on the dwelling in the sukkah, but to dwell in the sukkah. The question, the first question, which is no question, is there a rhyme and reason for which mitzvot get one bracha or the other? The answer is definitely yes. These were not arbitrary. I picture in my mind's eye the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah who composed the brachot with a coin that had Al stamped on one side and Lus stamped on the other. No, not really. This is a joke. And then they flip the coin and say, okay, this next mitzvah will have a Le bracha. This one will have an Al bracha. Grammatically, in English, I think we're talking about an infinitive verb, lehafrish chala min ha'isa, rather as opposed to a gerund noun, on the eating of matzah. So eating is a verb, but eating matzah is a noun. So let's take as a given that there is a reason. Now the question is, what's the reason? What were the criteria, or what is the criterion for which bracha of mitzvah was the conclusion? Before I even tell you that, you should know that there are mitzvot that were in dispute, where you have two different opinions, one obviously which we follow, and that's the one we'd be familiar with, but another one which was argued by somebody, and he lost. This I also picture in my mind's eye, but it's a real picture, of a committee of members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, or subsequently the Sanhedrin, not all the body, but a committee, whose task it was to compose and fix the texts of prayer and blessings. And they were the ones, when it was still a raw topic and still not yet fixed, who actually brought up mitzvah by mitzvah and said, okay, first question, are we going to have a bracha for this mitzvah or not? Because there are some mitzvot that don't get brachot. And that's a separate question that you ask. Here's a mitzvah. It's just as much as a Torah mitzvah as counting the Omer. Where's the bracha for it? So any time there's a mitzvah that doesn't have a bracha, you're entitled to ask why it doesn't. And there are beautiful reasons why not. Or pragmatic reasons as well. And when there is a mitzvah, the question is, why that wording? Hold that thought. We'll be right back after Israel National Radio does whatever it does between halves of this show, and the OU Radio does not do. Lama tomar Yaakov utadaber Yisrael nistera darki mehashem Umelokai Mishpati Avor. We've been starting the show with the first pasuk of the Torah reading for Shabbat. I decided to start the second half of the show with the first verse of the Haftarah. Now let's continue with the shiur for the folders. And for you. And the wording is not restricted just to the al or the le, which I'm talking about now, but al achilat matzah could have been al hamatzah, or al mitzvat matzah. There were different possibilities, and some committee came to the conclusion, and the majority vote was al achilat matzah. But I always find it fascinating to take a step behind the curtain, before these things were fixed, and to say, here's another opinion which got voted down. Why was it suggested, and how come it wasn't the favored opinion? This is a much broader topic than we have time to explore now, but it gives you an idea of what's involved in these things. On the topic of le or al, the infinitive verb or the gerund noun, the fact is that different sages throughout relatively recent history, meaning the latter, not Talmudic sources, but later, differ in their opinion. They come up with a theory, and you test it out. Well, it fits this bracha, and the idea fits this one. Oh, wait a minute, this one doesn't make sense. How do you explain this bracha in light of that theory? And then they end up with a track record of 80% of the brachot fit or 60% of the brachot fit. And that's why there are more than one opinion, because it's not clear. And I'm not going to go into the opinions in their variety. I'm going to choose the one that I believe with all my heart is the reason, because it fits and it makes sense in almost all brachot that I can think of. And when it doesn't, some of them you could sort of kvetch, squeeze into the explanation anyway, and some are more difficult to explain. With all of that introduction, let's now get to tachlis. Mitzvot, performance of mitzvot, has two distinctive different kinds of performance. One is when you have a mitzvah to do, and you do it, and you're finished. Al achilat matzah, whatever matzah you eat all of Pesach is irrelevant, that's voluntary. The matzah that you eat at the Seder night is a requirement from the Torah. How much do you have to eat? One kezayit, two kezaitim, this size, that size, 4 by 6 inches, 7 by 9, 8.5 by 11, whatever it is, whatever opinions are being followed at your Seder, someone hands you an amount of matzah. You have kavana in your mind to the mitzvah of matzah. You make hamotzi, you make an asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav etzivanu al achilat matzah, and you eat. You chew, you bite off, you chew, you swallow, you bite off another piece, you chew, you chew, you shouldn't talk during that time. And eventually, in the span of 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it takes different amount of time with different people depending on how much you're eating. But the point is that when you make the swallow of that last piece of your kazetim, you have done the mitzvah. You did the whole thing. Al Mikra Megillah, Purim night and Purim day, the Baal Kori gets up there, he makes brachot. Not talking now about She'osan Nisim Lavotenu, not talking about Shechianu, different type of bracha. The bracha I'm talking about is the bracha of the mitzvah. The mitzvah that is about to be performed is the reading of Megillat Esther. That will begin the moment the Baal Kori says, Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh, and it will end when the Megillah ends. Whether it takes 38 minutes or 45 minutes or 57 minutes, depending on how much noise there is for Haman, and how many delays there are for kids setting off firecrackers in shul or whatever, it's going to end. The Baal Kori, on our behalf, will have done the entire mitzvah. Al Sfirat HaOmer, Hayom Yom Echad LaOmer, period, end of story for tonight. Whatever's tomorrow night will get its own bracha, and it's another mitzvah. But the bracha, the mitzvah, whether it takes a second or an hour, is still completely done by you. As opposed to mitzvot which we set into motion, but they continue beyond our performance. There's a mitzvah to have a mezuzah on your doorpost for years and years and years that you're living in that house. You live there 20 years, it's a 20-year mitzvah. Your performance is the affixing of the mezuzah to the doorpost. You don't have to stand there for the rest of the 20 years that you're going to live there holding it in place. Once you attach it to the doorpost, you set that mitzvah into motion, and it continues. If the mezuzah happens to fall off, you have to put it back. If you need to paint and you take it off, you have to put it back. If you want to check it, you have to do that and put it back. But you don't do the whole mitzvah. You just set it in motion. Same thing with Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbat. Woman lights candles on Friday late afternoon. That's not the whole mitzvah. The mitzvah is you light the candles and that they burn through at least the first Seudah of Shabbat that night. And that's something that you're not doing. You just set the ball rolling. Mitzvot that you perform completely get the al kind of bracha. Al achilat matzah, on the eating of matzah, which I just... I'm about to do, and 5 minutes later, I'm done. Al Sfirat HaOmer, Al Mikra Megillah, and many etc. Al Hashchita, the Shochet Shechts, the mitzvah is done. whatever now you do to the meat is cooking it, that's your problem. But the shechita is a couple of seconds, done. Al. Mezuzah, le. Lehadlik ner shel Chanukah. Has to burn at least a half hour after Tzeitat Kochavim. You start the mitzvah on its way. If you accept at least that this is one of the opinions, and it's the one that I personally favor, you are entitled to quickly run through your mind and think of mitzvot that have brachot and say, oh, wait a minute, how do you explain likro et ha-halel, for example? That's one that I get fired back at me when I bring up this topic. Halel consists of six chapters of Tehillim. There's a bracha before it, likro et ha-halel, to read the halel. There's a bracha after it that finishes it up, and the mitzvah is done. If the mitzvah is done based on what I just said, it should be al kriyat halel, or al amirat halel, or whatever. Why is it le? I believe, and maybe I shouldn't have started with this as the example, but I believe that halel is not restricted to these six chapters. They are the ones that were formalized when it comes to giving praise to God, but it's a mitzvah that goes beyond those six chapters. In other words, if on Chanukah you gather your family around at candlelighting time and you speak of the miracles that occurred in the time of the rededication of the Beit HaMikdash after the victory of the Hashmonaim, then that's a form of praise of God and Hallel, even though it's not the formal Hallel that you will say in the morning after the Amidah of Shacharit. But there's something in the nature of Hallel that goes beyond the specific six chapters. Or to put it differently, if we are obligated to praise God on certain occasions, then true, you technically have fulfilled your obligation by these six chapters, but it doesn't mean that you're finished. There are opportunities in the course of the Chag to continue to praise God in different ways for what he has done. I believe that satisfies me, whether it satisfies you or not, that's your question, as to why it's likro at ha-halel and not al kriyat ha-halel. Similarly, lishmoa kol shofar, to hear the sound of the shofar. Well, wait a minute. You have to do three teruot, each one surrounded forward and backwards with a tekiah, and then the mitzvah's done. You want to say 30 kolot, 30 kolot. You want to say 100 kolot, 100 kolot, finished. Yeah, but the Torah's mitzvah is yom teruah yihyeh lachem. This shall be a day of teruah. It involves not just the specific number of blasts of the shofar. It involves the davening and the themes of the day, even though we don't make a separate bracha on them. But I believe, again, that the concept, rather than the Torah having said, thou shalt hear the shofar, which it doesn't say it, it says, you shall have a yom teruah on Rosh Hashanah, gives a broader performance of this mitzvah than just the tekiot, and therefore it gets the lishmoa rather than al shmiat, or whatever. Now, back to points to illustrate, which is why I believe it fits beautifully in this week of Parshat Lech Lecha. Brit Milah is one of the rare mitzvot that has two brachot, not just one. Now, I'm talking about brachot of mitzvah. If you're talking about brachot, Chanukah candles on the first night have three. But one of them is She'asa Nisim Lavoteinu, and another one is She'echiyanu, and those are not brachot of mitzvah. When I say brachot of mitzvah, I'm talking about the text, Asher Kiddishanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu, he who has commanded us to sanctify us with his mitzvot and commanded us whatever. So Chanukah candles has one, and Hallel has one, and Matzah has one, and Moror has one, and Sfirat Omer has one, and Sukkah. By the way, let's go back to Sukkah for a minute. Leishev basukkah, when you sit down to your first meal in the Sukkah and you bench, you're not really excused to go back into your house. A lot of people do, But you're really supposed to continue staying there, including sleeping there, and when you wake up in the morning, go to shul from the sukkah. So it's a mitzvah that goes beyond a specific pointed performance, and that gets a leishev rather than an al, yeshiva basukkah. Anyway, Brit Milah. Brit Milah is very rare in that there are two brachot of mitzvah that are recited, but they're very different. The mohel, the one who circumcises the child, will make an asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al hamila. Then, in what really could be a fraction of a second, he cuts the foreskin off, does whatever else he has to do, takes another couple of seconds, and he's done. He'll take a look at the baby to make sure the baby is fine afterwards, and he might check 3 days later. But basically, the mitzvah of mila, circumcision, is done in a matter of seconds, and the one who performs that mitzvah is the one who makes that bracha, be it the father of the baby or his shaliach, his representative, his agent, the professional mohel. But as soon as the mohel finishes the bracha al hamila, the father does not give over this second bracha. He makes it himself on behalf of his wife and himself. Asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu l'hachniso b'vrito shel Avraham Avinu, to enter the child into the covenant of our father Abraham. That bracha, first of all, is not delegated to the mohel, even though the mohel is doing the physical circumcision. It's retained by the father, and it is not over in a second or two. It is a commitment to raise the child as a good Jew and a good person. That's l'hachniso b'vrito shel Avraham Avinu. Therefore, it gets a L, because it's not a specific act within a certain time period. It's a flexible, ongoing thing, which includes teaching the child Torah, or hiring people to teach him Torah, or paying tuition to have him taught Torah in school, and it teaches him, to teach him a parnassa, livelihood thing, and to teach him how to swim, and to teach him values, and the mother has her share in this, and the father has his share of this. It's an ongoing thing. The word that summarizes this second aspect of Mila is Brit. And we call the ceremony Brit Mila. So it works out very neatly, if you think about it, that the mitzvah has a two-word name, has two brachot, one that relates to the mila and one that relates to the brit, and there's a very nice gematria that fits into this. The gematria of brit is 612. Mila is a mitzvah, which means if you add 612 and 1, 2 plus 1 is 3, bring down the 1, bring down the 6, 613. Therefore, Brit Milah represents not just the single mitzvah of Milah, but it represents the other 612 mitzvot of the Torah, which is symbolized by the word Brit, and more than symbolized, it is the ideal goal of what the parents of this child have to do. To enter him into the covenant of Abraham is not just to circumcise him. If you look in the Sedra this week, you will see the term brit, an oath, a sign of a covenant. The deal with God is to follow him, to keep his Torah, to keep his mitzvot. The sign of that commitment is the circumcision. Of course, Brit Milah is a mitzvah by itself, but it carries so much extra weight when it's in context of a commitment to all of Judaism, to Torah and mitzvot, which again, symbolized by the word brit, symbolized and more than symbolized by the language of the bracha that the father says, lehachniso bevrito shel Avraham Avinu. It's not going to be done in a day, and it's only inaugurated at birth, and continues when you hit the age of chinuch even more, and when you get towards bar mitzvah even more, but it continues way beyond. And there are aspects of lahachniso bevrita shel Avraham Avinu that will go into the child's adulthood as well. When parents maintain a good relationship with their children years and years into their adulthood, the adulthood of the children, then that is also a continuing process that was inaugurated way, way back at 8 days old of lahachniso bevrita shel Avraham Avinu. So it fits. If you've thought of any brachot that you're not happy with, the le and al, then know that it doesn't fit everything, or I can't fit it into everything. Know that there are other opinions. I don't believe any of the other opinions fit more brachot than this one does. Here's one more example. La'asok b'divrei Torah. The bracha for Torah. Technically, it's the bracha for Torah learning. So we should say, al mitzvat limud Torah, or something like that. But of course it's way, way more than just sitting in book learning Torah. Anything that you do in the course of a day that is Torah-oriented, that means giving tzedakah, that means respecting your parents, that means doing other acts of chesed, bikur cholim, and by the way, this is one of the explanations, not the only one, when you ask how come certain mitzvot don't have brachot of their own, then as a side point, after you answer how come tzedakah, which is a mitzvah in the Torah, doesn't have a bracha, there's a facetious answer to it, but it rings true also, that imagine someone who is very, very hungry because he had no money to afford food, and he puts out his hand and says, can you please give me something so I could go and eat? Well, what are you going to do? You're going to make a bracha? And what are you going to do before the bracha? You're going to say, hineni muchan amezuman, and yehi ratzon. And what are you going to do before that? You're going to wash netilat yadayim so that your hands are pure when you are fulfilling a mitzvah. By the time you get around to giving this guy tzedakah, or food to eat, who knows what's going to happen to him. I mean, there's a serious story in the Gemara about someone who, famous Rav, went to a bathhouse, and there was a beggar who asked him for money, and he said, I'm going in for a bath. When I come out, I'll give you. And the guy was dead when he came out. He had died of hunger. And you're supposed to learn from that that you don't delay the mitzvah of tzedakah. But as an addition, as a side point to this concept of answering the question, how come there's no bracha for this, that, or the other thing, is even though there isn't its own bracha, they are also considered to be included in the la'asok b'divrei Torah that you say every morning. Let me give you an analogy to that. If you're at a meal and you had Kiddush, let's say Friday night, and you made hamotzi, and you now have gefilte fish, what bracha do you make on the gefilte fish? You don't make any bracha on the fish because it's covered by the meal. That's one answer. And I have a different answer, which is really the same. It's a different way of looking at it, and I like it better. You know what bracha you make on gefilte fish when it's part of a meal? Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. When you make hamotzi on bread, and halachically it covers those things that normally are included in a meal, then in essence, that's a bracha for that food that you ate. Because you can challenge by saying, what do you mean you don't make a bracha on gefilte fish? How could you eat anything without a bracha? So the answer, I don't have to make a bracha in this situation, or I'm not supposed to, I think can be said in a nicer way, at least psychologically for us. Yes, every food that we eat has a bracha. Except that because of the rules of brachot, some foods in the course of a meal are covered by the hamotzi that you said. If you say that, then when I ask you, how come we don't make a bracha on bikur cholim, because bikur cholim, visiting the sick, is a mitzvah, then One answer is because it requires a second person and you don't know if he's really sick or if he appreciated the visit or he was helped by it or whatever. Since it's out of your hands, we do the mitzvah, but we don't make a bracha. That's one way of answering. But the last answer is not really a direct answer. The last answer is, since there are reasons not to make a special bracha on Bikur Cholim, keep in mind that when you say in the morning, La'asok b'divrei Torah, to immerse myself in words of Torah, that includes the act of Bikur Cholim. That includes a child's honoring of his parents. That includes the giving of tzedakah. That includes anything that you do that doesn't get its own bracha for whatever reason, and therefore it's still under the cover of an existing bracha. As usual, plenty more to say, not enough time to say it. Let me wish the San Francisco Giants Hatzlacha in their pennant playoff and in the subsequent World Series. Let me wish you all a Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtamea.